Hi everyone, my name is Abel and I'm a senior cloud developer advocate specializing in DevOps. Today we're going to go from zero to DevOps using VSTS. Now, what we're going to cover, first we're going to cover what exactly is DevOps. And then we're going to dive in deep and I'm going to show you how you can build out your CI/CD pipeline completely from scratch. Now, before we begin, let's do a quick intro. Once again, my name is Abel. My title is Senior Cloud Developer Advocate. But what is it that I do? Well, really, I write code. I've been writing code for over 20 years. I eat, drink, live writing code. It's what I do and it's what I love. And I also go around talking to people. So I talk and I write code. Some roles that I've had, I'm an ALM Ranger. I've been a VSTS. I write code with a VSTS team. Area of specialty is definitely around DevOps, General App Dev, Visual Studio, and Azure. So, what exactly is DevOps? If you ask 10 different people, you're going to get 10 different answers. But at Microsoft, DevOps is something that is very specific to us. To us, DevOps is the union of people, process, and products to enable the continuous delivery of value to our end users. Now, notice I said that really, really carefully, right? Because it's meant to be said really carefully. Every single word makes sense, and there's a reason why. People, process, and our products. And you notice I didn't say continuously deliver code, because ultimately, if you can continuously deliver code, what does that do for your end users? Absolutely nothing, right? You just get a pile of code. You need to be able to continuously deliver value to your end users. So why people, process, and products? Those are the three pillars that need to be addressed to be successful. For the people portion, well, you need to have a culture that is embracing this DevOps mindset. And it needs to start from the top and go all the way to the bottom. You need to have a process that will let you iterate fast enough, yet still deliver code of high enough quality. And finally, you need to have products that will enable DevOps. And at Microsoft, the ultimate product is Visual Studio Team Services. With Visual Studio Team Service, it is everything that you need to take an idea and turn that into a working piece of software in the hands of your end users. And today, we'll dive in and see how we can build out our CI/CD pipelines completely from scratch. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into Visual Studio Team Services. Now, when we first start out, this is the landing page. This is what we see. So what we need to do is create a brand new project. So let's jump in here. We'll create a new project. And we'll name this project Connect 2017 Demo. You can give it a description if you want. We're going to use Git. We're going to use Agile. We'll go ahead and click on Create. And now, VSTS is going to go out and create for us our team project. And it's, when it's done creating this, we'll have an empty team project with no source code and no pipeline. But that's perfectly fine, because then we'll jump in and we'll create this pipeline for you from beginning all the way to the end. All right, so here we go. Here is our instance of VSTS. And notice that the source control, completely empty. Now we can just come over here. Let's go ahead and clone this repo. And what we're going to do is we're going to clone this empty repo onto our hard drive, and then we'll copy code into this hard drive. So let's go ahead and clone the repo to our hard drive. And it should go pretty fast because there's no code in here. So let's go ahead and CD into this demo account. And you can see there's absolutely no code. Now let's go ahead and copy in our code into this empty folder. So let's go into the empty folder. Now let me find my code. I'll copy it and I'll paste it in here. Now, once it's done pasting all the code into this specific directory, we're going to use Git to upload everything back up to VSTS. All right, so we'll go back to our source code. Let's go ahead and add everything. We'll commit our changes locally. And now let's go ahead and push our changes back up to VSTS. And there we go. All the code is back into VSTS. Now, if we go back to VSTS, you'll notice that when we click on the code, instead of an empty repo, we now have all of my code uploaded into VSTS. The next thing that we're going to need to do is set up a build, right? First, we need to have our source code. After we have our source code, we need to create a build definition. And once that's done, we'll take that build definition and link it to a release pipeline that will push our code all the way out into Azure. So now we have code on our source control system. Let's go and create our build. Notice we already have a button here that says set up build. And that's exactly what we want to do. So let's go ahead and set up our build. Now, to set up our build, the first thing it's going to do is it's going to ask us, what template do you want to use? And VSTS comes with a variety of templates that we can choose from. Now, everybody knows you can use VSTS for the Windows stack, right? But VSTS is not just for Windows. It's literally for any language, targeting any platform. And we have templates that cover all these different languages. Now, for this demo, we're going to go ahead and do an ASP.NET web app. So we're going to choose an ASP.NET template. We'll click Apply. And now it's going to go ahead and create for me a template of my build. So what VSTS does is it's going to build you a build pipeline that makes sense for the technology that you picked. Since we picked ASP.NET, the first thing it's going to do is it's going to go ahead, use NuGet, and restore our NuGet packages. Then it's going to build our solution. It's going to test all of our assemblies, running our unit test. And when it's done with that, it'll go ahead and publish everything back up to VSTS. Now, there is some configuration that we need to do. First, we need to pick our agent queue. So out of the box, you can choose two types of agents. You can choose agents that are hosted by us in VSTS, or you can use your own private agent. Now, the benefits of using a hosted agent, there's nothing for you to install. There's nothing for you to configure. You don't even need to have the infrastructure in-house. We host everything for you. Now, the downside to that is there is only a known set of software that is installed on these hosted agents. But if what you're doing fits with what's installed on these hosted agents, why not use them, right? Now, if what you're doing requires that you have to have special software installed on it, then go ahead and use your own private agents. We're just going to go ahead and use a hosted Visual Studio 2017 agent. Next, I want to point out that in our template, we've already said, go ahead and build every single solution that's in the repo, and that's perfectly fine. We also passed in a whole bunch of MS build arguments, and these arguments packages up our binaries so that it's ready to be deployed out into Azure. Next, we have a task. This is going to run all of our unit tests. I do want to add a test filter criteria on this because I don't want it to run every single test that it can find in my repo. I actually have automated UI tests, load tests, and things like that. So I only want it to run against my unit tests. So I'll add a test filter criteria of unit tests. Some other configurations that you can do, if you check this checkbox, now that says only run tests that are impacted by the changes that you've made. So this uses test impact analysis. This could potentially save you massive amounts of time because it only runs the tests that have been impacted by your code changes, especially if you have thousands of tests. Another thing that you can do to speed up your build is you can run your tests in parallel. Of course, this only works with a multi-core machine. And by checking this checkbox, this will turn on our code coverage. All right, really, this is all we need to do to configure our build. So let's go ahead and save this and queue up a build. Now, once I queue up this build, we'll be able to click on this link over here, and it'll take us directly into the build while it's building live. So what is this build doing now? The first thing it's going to do is it's going to find us a hosted Windows agent, and when it does that, it will kick off the build. The build is going to download the latest source code from VSTS. Then it's going to compile everything. It's going to run NuGet. After it compiles everything, it will go ahead and run all of our unit tests. And if everything looks good and everything passes, it will go ahead and take those bits and publish them back into TFS, into VSTS, up in the cloud. Now, just because our template built out everything, you still have complete control over this entire process. So if you just click on Edit, we'll be able to jump in here and edit this build to our heart content. So what type of things can you edit? How do you customize a build? The way that you customize a build is that you can add or remove agent phases. And then for each agent phase, you can start adding and removing tasks. Now, out of the box, VSTS has about 100 tasks that just come out of the box that you can start using. And these tasks cover all sorts of tasks for all sorts of languages and for all sorts of platforms. Remember, VSTS is not just for Windows. It's for any language targeting any platform. So what do you do if you want to do something in your build that doesn't exist out of the box? Simple enough. First thing I would do is I would jump into the marketplace. In the marketplace, our partners have created over 500 build and release tasks that you can just download and start using. So if you see something you need, or search for something that you need and you find it, just download it, use it, and you're good to go. If, for some reason, you need to do something that you can't do out of the box, and it doesn't exist in the marketplace, that's totally okay, because you can build your own custom tasks. A custom task is nothing more than PowerShell or Node.js. You bundle it together with whatever artifacts you need, upload it to VSTS, and bam, that's it. So what that means is anything that you can do from the command line, you can easily get VSTS to do. Or said another way, you can get VSTS to do whatever you want to do. All right, so our build probably finished. So let's go ahead and jump into our build so we can get a detailed look on what it did. So our build passed, that's fantastic. So let's jump into our detailed build report. And in this detailed build report, you get to see who changed what. You get to see any work items associated with this particular check-in. You'll be able to see all the tests that have been run, which ones have passed, which ones have failed. You even get code coverage results. And finally, if deployments were created for this build, it would link directly to the deployments. Of course, we have no release defined yet, so we have a link here that we can just jump on and start configuring our releases. Now, before we jump and do that, let's go ahead and dive into our build a little bit deeper to see what else you can set up. Now, in each build definition, you can actually come in here and create environmental variables. And these variables, easy enough to use, just click on variables, start typing in your variable name, enter in a value. And if you wanted to, you can even lock this down so it's encrypted. Now, nobody can see what it is, nobody can access it, and your information is totally safe. You can also control the trigger for this particular build. You can schedule it so this build fires on a schedule, or you can turn on continuous integration. And if you turn on continuous integration, what that means is any time a developer checks in code and code hits the master branch, it's going to kick off this build where it will download all the source control, it will go ahead and run all of your unit tests and do every single task that is listed. There are some other options that you can set. You can give it a description. You can define exactly what your build number format is going to be. You can turn on badges. You can determine how build requests are processed. And you can automatically link new work into this build. So this is a great feature. If your developers are checking in their code and linking work items to their check-ins, then this build report will automatically be able to find those work items and put it onto the build report. You also get to specify how your build jobs are queued up. And also, you get to demand or specify what is actually installed on the build agents that you use. And finally, you get to list your retention history as well. How long do you want to keep these builds around for? And you do get to see a list of all the history of who changed what in these builds. So your builds themselves, the build definition, that's versioned for you as well. All right, so let's go ahead and jump back to our build report. And from our build report, we'll be able to see everything that's happened. So here's our build report. And down here is the space for our deployments. So this is where we're going to go ahead and put in our release definition. So let's click on this link to create a brand new release. And this is the release editor. Now first, let's choose a template. We are actually going to release this .NET web app into Azure. So let me show you what the Azure environment looks like. So here's my Azure resource group. I actually have a web app for this demo I have a dev environment, a canary environment, and also what I'm going to use for my production environment. So if we jump into the dev environment, we'll go ahead and browse to this, and you can see that at this moment, this is just an empty web app. So we'll go ahead and browse to it. So the web app has been created, but nothing has been deployed to this web app. So if we jump back to our release definition, we can actually use a template. And the template that we're going to use is an Azure App Service deployment. So we'll go ahead and click on Apply, and that's all we need to do. So now we have a release definition that's going to take our bits from this build, and it's going to deploy it into one environment. So we should probably call this environment dev. And we'll go ahead and dive into this environment so you can see exactly what it's doing. Now, because we're deploying into Azure, it's so ridiculously easy to deploy into Azure using VSTS. It's one simple task. But we do need to fill out some information. So let's go ahead, jump in here, and we'll fill some information out. First, we need to find our subscription. So let's go ahead and choose the correct Azure subscription, and I have a few. This is the one that I want to use. And we do need to authorize this. And once it authorizes against my subscription, I'll be able to find my app service by name right in this dropdown. Now, the app service name that we're going to be looking for is going to be Connect2017-DemoWebApp-Dev. So let's see if we can find it. And we'll scroll down until we find it. Here we go, Connect2017-DemoWebApp-Dev. And that right there is literally all we need to do to configure our release into the dev environment. Now let's jump back into the pipeline, and we'll drill into a little bit more on how you can configure a release. Because deploying into the dev environment, that's all great, right? But how do we deploy in the real world, where we want to go from dev to our canary environment, all the way out into production? Well, using the editor, we can easily clone this environment from dev to canary. And then from my canary environment, let me go ahead and clone another one. This will go into production. Now, we do need to tweak these environments just a little bit. So from my canary environment, instead of deploying into dash dev, we want to make sure we deploy into dash canary. And then for our production environment, let's make sure we go to the production environment instead of our dash dev environment. So there we go. We'll go ahead and save this and go back to our pipeline. So now we've created a dev environment, a canary environment, and a production environment. For each environment, we've gone in and edited the tasks that we need to do to deploy our applications into that specific environment. Now, once again, because we're deploying into Azure, it becomes super simple. But if you're deploying into something else and needed to do more things, how do you do that? It's just like the build system. What you do is you can add or remove agent phases, and you can add and remove tasks. And again, out of the box, you have hundreds of tasks that you can just start using for all sorts of languages, for all sorts of platforms. And if what you want to do doesn't exist out of the box, just like the build, go to the marketplace, see if you can find the release task that you need, and if you find it, download it and start using it. And if you don't, write your own task. Anything that you can do from the command line, you can easily get this build and release system to do, because custom tasks, again, nothing more than PowerShell or Node.js. All right, any questions so far? I don't see any questions on the board, so I'll keep on going. All right, so after defining what your pipeline is going to look like, and after defining what tasks are going to run in each of the environments, now usually you go in and start defining approval gates. And in VSTS, you can define approval gates before and after each environment. Usually what I do is I leave the pre-deployment condition wide open for my dev environment So if there is a good build, it will automatically deploy into my dev environment. But I do want a dev to look at it, make sure it looks good, and approve it before it flows on over to the Canary environment. So let's go ahead and add a post-deployment condition. And what we're going to do is we're going to add a post-deployment approver. And the type of approvers that you can add a list of people and just list them out. And then every single person on that list has to approve or the gate won't pass. Or you can add groups. And if one person in your group approves, then it will pass through the gates. Or you can use a combination of lists and groups. So you can make this as granular as you need to. All right. The other thing that I like to do is I like to add a pre-deployment condition into the Canary environment. So the reason why is I don't just want to automatically blast bits into my Canary environment. Maybe tests are going on, maybe QA people are in there, and I don't want to just blast brand new bits that might invalidate all the testing that's happening. So I do like having a pre-deployment approvers here as well. So let's go ahead and add a pre-deployment approver before my Canary environment. And let's go ahead and add a post-deployment approver. And we'll do the same thing for our production environment. So we'll go ahead and add a pre-deployment approver. And we'll go ahead and add post-deployment approvers. All right, fantastic. So now we've created our pipeline. For each environment, we've defined exactly the tasks that we want to use to deploy our application into that specific environment. And we've also defined pre and post-deployment approvers in all the gates. Now, there's another type of gate that you can add. You can actually add automated approval gates as well. Now, I actually cover that in detail in one of my other videos. So we're not going to touch on that today. It's a little bit more advanced, but it's an exciting new feature, and I highly recommend you to check out those videos and check out this new feature. All right, so let's go ahead and save this. And while it's saving, let's go ahead and kick off a deployment. So we'll click on release. We'll say create a release. It's going to ask us, what do you want to actually release? In this case, we're going to release the latest good build, and that's all we need to do. So what is this release doing? Let's go ahead and jump in and see the release report to see what it's actually doing. So first, we can see an overview. We can see we have a dev, canary, and a production environment. It is currently deploying my application into my dev environment. If I click on the logs, it'll take me to a live stream of everything that it's doing. So what is this release doing? Is downloading my bits from my build environment. And once it downloads all the bits from my build, it will go ahead and take those bits and deploy my application into Azure. And when it's done doing all that, it will go ahead and ask me for my post-deployment approval. Now, while it's going through this, let's dive into the release again for some more configurations. So let's go ahead and edit this. Now, the first thing that I want to show you guys is, just like the build, you have the ability to add variables. So these are environmental variables that can be used in your releases. So let's give this a name. We'll call this database.password. And we can give this a value. And just like the build, if you wanted to, you could encrypt it. But the difference is here, we're able to scope this variable over our entire release or to a specific environment. And once you have that, you can now use these variables in your pipeline. So for instance, and this really isn't going to make a whole lot of sense, but if you wanted to give your name to be your database password for whatever reason, you can do something like this, database.password. And then when the build actually runs, it will plug in whatever value that was in your variable, it will plug it in. All right. So here are the variables. You also have a retention history. So how long will this build and this release be kept around? There are some options that you can set, including things like the release name. and whether this particular release, the deployment status, will be shown showed up as a little badge on your source code. And finally, you also get the history. So just like the build, your releases, they're versioned, and you can always roll back and use an older version as well. All right, so let's go ahead and jump back to our release and see if we've actually pushed our code all the way out into our dev environment. So here is our release. We'll drill in here, go into our release report. I'm sorry, I just went to the wrong place. I went to the build. Let's go into our release. And then in our release report, you'll be able to tell that we've deployed into dev. Oh, it's actually still in progress. So let's take a look and see where we're at. So we did deploy, and now it's running our post-deployment gates, which we really shouldn't have any. And when it's done, we'll actually be able to see in the report exactly what's going on. All right, so while it's doing that, let's go ahead and jump in and take a look at our environment. If we refresh this, we should be able to see our app that's already been deployed out into production. It's going to take a little bit of time before we can actually see this because this is brand new bits. It still needs to compile everything. Before that, it will just everything will show up. So while it's doing all of this, let me jump into the release and show you some more stuff that you can customize. So some other things that you can do. I showed you one deployment through this pipeline. But what I didn't show you is that you actually have the ability to do parallel deployments as well. So if you want to do parallel deployments, you can just click on a new environment. This can be an empty process. And like this, now you're able to set up parallel deployment streams. And just like before, after you create your environment, you can jump into that specific environment and then go ahead and add and remove whatever tasks that you need to deploy your app into that particular environment. So I have a question on the board. How do I change the environment variables for each environment? How do I point Canary to the Canary environment database, for instance? That's a great question. And let me show you how to do that. In your variables, you would just scope your variable to a particular environment. So you can have something like database.url or whatever it is, and you can give the value here, and you'd scope this to the Canary environment. And you'd have another database.url that you would use for your production environment. And then when you're in your task, you would just call $ database.url. The next question, can tasks be run individually to test? So sort of, right? If you go into your pipeline, and let's go ahead and add another task. For instance, we want to deploy our database. So let's add a SQL task. If I just wanted to run one task, you do have the ability to come in, right-click on a task, and choose to disable the selected task. And in that fashion, you can sort of run tasks individually to see if it's doing what you think it's supposed to do. All right. If you guys have any further questions, feel free to jump on, enter them in, and I'll see if I can answer them. All right. So we have the ability to create parallel deployment streams. Another thing that you can do is you can actually have more than one repository. So right now, our artifacts is coming from one specific build, but we can go ahead and create more than just one. So if I click on the add, it will create another artifact repository. It can come from a build. So if we have multiple builds in VSTS, they'll show up in this dropdown, and we can just pick whichever project, and then we can go ahead and pick whichever build we want. Or your artifacts could come from Git, GitHub, or even Jenkins. So yes, VSTS is an end-to-end pipeline. that can give you absolutely everything that you need. But you don't have to use every single part of VSTS. You can just use whatever works. And same with your build, right? Our build that we created, let me go ahead and jump into the build to show you. Our build that we created, that was using source code that was stored in VSTS. But you don't have to use VSTS as your source control. You can really use, a whole bunch of different places. Let me go ahead and show you how you can do that. Let's edit this build. One of the things that you can do is if you click on your Get Sources, you can see that we can actually choose a variety of different sources. We can choose VSTS, but we can also choose GitHub, Bitbucket, Remote Repo, and also Subversion. All right, let's go back to our release. So we've covered that we can create parallel releases. You can have multiple artifacts. You have variables that you can use, and history is actually saved for all of your releases. Now, if we go to our app, we'll be able to see, bam, my app, it's already been deployed out into production. So pretty simple, right, to create a full CI/CD pipeline into VSTS. The build and the release in VSTS, it's really just, for lack of a better word, it's really just a glorified task runner that will do one task after another after another. So to configure a build and to configure a release, you just got to think of how and what types of tasks do I need to do in a sequential fashion to build and then to deploy my app into these different environments. All right, any other questions? All right, no questions so far, so we'll dive a little bit deeper. If we go ahead into our release report, let's go ahead and jump in so you guys can see what that looks like. So here is the release that's going on. You'll be able to see that at this moment, it is still running our post-deployment gates. And it probably will run it for a while now. So let's go ahead and tweak our build a little bit so that we can actually build something, deploy it, and have it finish. So let's come in here, and we're going to create a brand new release definition. And this time around, we'll choose an app service deployment. The artifact that we're going to use is going to be my build. So let's select the correct build. Let's go ahead and add this. And then let's come into our environment, our first environment. We're going to configure this. Once again, we need to find the correct subscription. And now let's go ahead and find our app service. And if you remember, our app service was Connect 2017 Demo Web App-Dev. Now let's go back to our pipeline, and we'll go ahead and let's come in here to change environment one, that's a horrible name, and let's call this dev. Oh, do we have another question? Is there a way to see environment variable that changes in time? The only way that you can see is through the history tab, and from the history tab, you'll be able to roll back and stuff. It's not a great view. But you will be able to see what has been changed. All right, so we created a dev environment. Let's go ahead and add a gate, and we'll add a post-deployment gate. And here we'll say, I am the manual approver. And now we'll go ahead and clone this environment. And now we're going to deploy into our Canary environment. Remember, you do need to come in to edit and make sure your task is doing the right thing. We want to make sure that we're not deploying into the dev environment, but into the Canary environment. So let's go ahead and click on my app service name instead of dev. Let's go into Canary. And we'll save this. And back to the pipeline, let's add a pre-deployment approver. And the pre-deployment approver will just be me. And we'll go ahead and save that. All right, so very, very quickly, we went from nothing at all and created this pipeline. We can queue a release. And this time, we're not going to run into any post-deployment gates. Is it possible to target, I have another question coming up on the screen, is it possible to target multiple different databases on a single MySQL instance when deploying? Absolutely, you can. So while this deployment is actually happening, let me go ahead and show you what that would look like. So deploying a database, there's a couple different ways that you can deploy a database. One that I use often is using SSDT, or SQL Server Data Tools. So we have a task that you can use. And what this does, well, if you have an SSDT project in your solution, one of the build artifacts that comes out is a DAC pack, right, when it builds your database project. And then you can take this DAC pack and use that DAC pack with the Azure SQL DAC pack task to deploy it against a database. So yes, you can absolutely target multiple databases because you have fields where you enter in the SQL Server name and also the database name. So even if it's a single instance of a SQL Server, if the database name is different, there's no problems with doing that. You just need to configure the correct tasks. Right? So one of the things that I should probably show you as well is what a build looks like if you have an SSDT project. So here is my build. If you look at the code that we actually uploaded, let me jump into the code really quickly. Here is my solution. Here is my web app. This one does not have a database project because I wasn't expecting to deploy a database. But if it did have a database project, in our builds, as part of the build, it would automatically build my SSDT project, create me a DAC pack, and then my DAC pack would become one of the artifacts. So if you click on artifacts, you'll be able to see exactly what was created. And one of the artifacts would be the DAC pack itself, which can then be used to deploy all the way out into production. All right, any other questions? I don't see anything on the board, and it's not really scrolling. So if there's anything below this question, I won't be able to see it. All right. Let's jump back to our release. And let's go ahead and view our releases. So here's our release. We can look in the logs, see what it's actually doing, and it's deploying all of our data out. And if we come into our second release, you can see that it has released, it has pushed all our code into production, but now it's sitting, I'm sorry, not production, into our dev environment. It's sitting there, but it's now waiting for a post-deployment approval. So if I come up to my environment, let's go ahead and refresh this. When it finally comes back, we're going to get the Mercury Health application. So now we know everything looks good. So we can come in here and we can approve this. Looks great in dev. And as soon as I approve, I actually have security rules in place that says the person that queues the build cannot actually come in and approve this. But if I didn't, if I approved it, bits would immediately start flowing into the Canary environment. Now, what is it actually doing when it releases into the Canary environment? When it starts releasing into the Canary environment, it's going to go back to the build drop location. It will start downloading the build artifacts. So these are going to be the exact same bits that I just deployed into my dev environment, we will take those exact same bits and deploy those exact same bits now into QA. Of course, once it goes into QA or into the Canary environment, people can use it, people can test it, and if everything looks good, it can be approved and it can flow all the way through the pipeline into production. All right, so we just showed you how easy it is to actually build and release for a Windows-based application. But VSTS, remember when I said earlier, it's not just for the Windows environment. It's for any language, targeting any platform. So if we wanted to, we can easily build for a Java environment as well. And let me show you. Let's go ahead and go back to our builds. And we're going to create a brand new build, once again, completely from scratch. Let's create new. And this time, we'll create a Java build. And most of the time, when I'm working with Java projects, we usually build using Ant or Maven. I'm a big fan of Maven, so we'll go ahead and apply that. And then notice, we already have tasks in place. And all you need to do now is put your Java code into VSTS. And once it's in VSTS, you can go ahead and point your POM file to this task. And once you've done that, that's all you need to do. Now VSTS can easily go and build your Java-based project. Same with Node, same with any other language. So remember, as long as it's something that you can do from the command line, you can easily get this build and release system to do it. Most of the time, there are templates already out there that will let you do everything. But if you didn't have those templates, you can build these out completely from scratch as well. Now, if you wanted to jumpstart your deployments and your build and release pipelines, there's a much easier way of doing that than actually walking through all these individual steps of uploading source code and then creating your build pipeline and then creating your release pipeline and linking everything together. And that's by using the brand new Azure DevOps projects. And let me show you how that works. First, what we need to do is jump into our Azure portal, and we're going to create what is called an Azure DevOps project. Now, this is going to be a brand new resource. So let's see if we can find the DevOps project. So we'll search for it. And when this comes back, we'll go ahead and select it. I just clicked on the wrong thing. We'll click Create. And now it's going to ask us, what type of language do you want to use? Do you want to do .NET, Java, a static website, Node.js, PHP, Python? Or you can even bring your own code. So as long as your code base is sitting in a Git repo, you can go ahead and use it, right? And if you didn't, and if you just chose one of the other languages, what we end up doing is we create for you a VSTS project with sample code in source control and a CI/CD pipeline that will take the sample code and deploy it all the way out into Azure for you. And there's nothing for you to do, it just flat out works. So let's see what that looks like. Let's go ahead and choose, let's choose a Java application. Next, it'll ask me what type of framework do I want to use? Do I want to use Spring or JSF? Let's use Spring. And let's run this web app for Windows or web app for containers. I'm going to choose web app. We'll click on Next. And now it's going to ask us, what instance of VSTS do you want to use? We can create a brand new one completely from scratch, or we can use one that already exists. So let's go ahead and use my demo account. And we'll give this project a name. We can click on Done. And bam. That's all we need to do, right? Now, VSTS is going to go out and it's going to build us this full end-to-end DevOps project. What's in an end-to-end DevOps project? Like I said earlier, you're going to get one team project in VSTS. You're going to get source code for a sample app. And you're going to get a CI/CD pipeline that will take the sample app and deploy it all the way out into Azure. And there's nothing more for you to do. Everything will just work. However, because everything is in VSTS, you still have complete control over absolutely everything. You can dive in at any point in time and customize and configure any portion, from the source code to the build system, all the way out to the release. Now, it takes some time to build out this full pipeline because we're actually building quite a bit. But we'll see in a little bit, once it completes, everything that I just said. So let's go ahead and take a look at this specific deployment. All right, while this is still deploying out there, are there any further questions from the viewers? And I don't see any questions, so we'll just go on. If we go into VSTS right now, we'll actually be able to see some of the stuff that it's doing. So let's jump in here. And let's see if we can find the VSTS team project that it's created. Nope, it hasn't finished it yet. All right, let's jump back into our Azure dashboard and see what that actually looks like. So it does take a while for it to build out. So while it's building, let me go ahead and show you a dashboard that's already been created. When you're finally done creating your Azure DevOps project, you are left with a dashboard that shows you everything that's in your DevOps project, from the source control to your CI/CD pipeline, all the way out to the resources that have been deployed out into Azure. So here we go. You can see here's my source code, here's my build, here's my CI/CD pipeline, and here's my resources that have already been deployed all the way out into Azure. Now, if you want to see exactly what was deployed into your code, you just click on this link, and it'll take you into VSTS, and you can see here is my source code. If you wanted to see your build, you just click on the link next to your build, and it'll take you into VSTS directly to your build definition. And if you edit it, you can see the pipeline completely. Now, once again, this pipeline is going to be a build pipeline that we created for you that makes sense for the technology that you chose. And same with the release. We can jump into the release link, click on that, and it'll take us directly to the release pipeline. Where from the release pipeline, let's go ahead and edit this so you can see exactly what we're doing. This right here is going to be a pipeline that we build out that makes sense for the technology that you chose. Now, this is an old project that I've had that I've actually come in here and customized extensively. And here is the application endpoint, where if we click on it, it'll take us directly to the resource that was deployed out into Azure. So everything that you need will just be there at your fingertips. And just because we went and created this full CI/CD project, this full DevOps project for you, you still have complete control over absolutely everything. So if you wanted to go in and customize the build, customize the release, you absolutely can. And let me show you what that looks like. Let's jump back. Here's our Java demo that is finally finished. And here we'll be able to see the code that we uploaded. Let's go ahead and take a look and see what that code looks like. It takes us into the correct team project, and you'll be able to see the code for our sample app. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at the build. And let me close out some windows. Here's the build that we're using. And here's the build pipeline. We're using Maven to build our Java application. And finally, let's take a look and see what the release pipeline looks like. So here's the release pipeline. It's still releasing. But in a nutshell, what are we doing? We're deploying our app, our Java-based application. The end result is a zip file, and we're going to take that zip file and deploy it all the way out into Azure. And when it's all done, we'll get a notification. And once we have that notification, we can go ahead and browse to our Java-based application to see what that looks like. And at the end of the day, it'll actually look something like this. It takes a little bit of time to deploy, so let me show you one that I've actually deployed out earlier in the day. So here's my Java-based project. We'll wait for my dashboard to load, and once it loads up, we'll click on my resource. That'll take me directly to my Java application. Here's the application endpoint, and it takes a while to load this because it's the very first time, but when it finally loads up, we'll be able to see our Java app. Now, once again, the most important part is it's super easy for us to create these pipelines for any language now, right? Just a couple clicks, and we can have a Node app or a C# app or a .NET Core app. But just because we created this pipeline for you, you still have complete control of the pipeline where you can make it do whatever you want. Everything ends up in VSTS, where you can now go in and customize this to your heart's content. So if we go back to our VSTS instance, remember, customizing a build, it's nothing more than coming in here and adding and removing tasks that you need. So here's our build. We can go ahead and edit. Now we can dive in and edit to our heart's content. Hundreds of tasks that you can use. If it doesn't exist out of the box, go to the marketplace. If it doesn't exist in the marketplace, go ahead and create your own custom tasks. And then if you want to, you can upload your own personal task into the marketplace itself. All right, any further questions? I see no further questions from any of the readers. All right, so in closing, I just wanted to say, VSTS is the ultimate DevOps solution. And it's not just for the Microsoft stack. It's for any language, targeting any platform. You literally can get the build and release system to do whatever you want to anything, any language, any platform. The build and the release system is just a task runner, one task after another after another. So it's super easy to jump in, customize it, configure it, and make it do whatever you need it to do. You can start completely from scratch, or you can use our templates. Or you can use our brand new Azure DevOps project. And the Azure DevOps projects will give you everything that you need from beginning all the way to the end. All right, any other questions? When creating a DevOps project in Azure, is the project source code always a Git project? And the answer is yes. When you're creating a DevOps project in Azure, the source control used is always going to be Git. Any other questions? All right, then. If there are no further questions, then this is all that I have to show you. CI/CD, Visual Studio Team Services, any language, any platform. And you get all this with a few clicks. Thank you very much.